What exactly is the law of attraction and how does it work? In a moment, Susan Smith-Jones joins us. A couple of her latest works, by the way, Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality, and the other, Wired for High-Level Wellness. We'll be back with Susan in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with Susan Smith-Jones back with us, holistic health and lifestyle expert, educator, president of her own Los Angeles-based Health Unlimited consulting firm. Susan Smith-Jones has a PhD, has certainly made extraordinary contributions to the field of high-level wellness. For the past 20 years, has traveled the country and the world teaching people how to conquer illness, extend life, and be uplifted day in and day out. Susan has established herself as one of the world's foremost experts on nutrition, vitality, human potential, the law of attraction, and living a balanced living. Susan, welcome back. I hope you are well.
George, I'm doing well. It's so great to be with you again. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this. And you know what? I can't think of a better time to have you on, where people are so stressed and upset and just everything seems to be coming in on people. Do you feel that?
I see it. I feel it every day with people calling me from all over the world. It's not just here in America. It's everywhere. Turn on any news at night, and you're bombarded with negativity. So you have to be really strong within your own being to let a lot of this roll over you. And I still watch the news, but I know where I need to send my prayers.
We talk about the law of attraction. What does that mean?
So in the simplest terms, and I like simple, and I think Einstein does too, because he said once, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. So here's what I would say. You're always attracting back to yourself a reflection of what you believe, what you think, what you say, what you do. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, we become what we think about all day long. Einstein said, your imagination is a preview of your life's coming attractions. And then another favorite of mine, Henry David Thoreau, said, the world is but a canvas to your imagination. So in other words, your outer world tends to be a reflection of your inner world, kind of like a mirror, your subconscious. And what you see in the world around you will be consistent over time with what's inside you. And this will become much clearer as we go on today. But here's an example bringing in health and vitality. Maybe you're visualizing one of your goals daily, like being fit, being healthy. But then you might, during the day, be saying negative things to yourself. Maybe denigrating yourself because you don't look as good in your clothes as you would like to. Maybe they're a little snug. So those negative thoughts will nullify the positive visualization. So here's what you need to do. You've got to put a guard up at the door of your thoughts where it all begins and keep your thoughts and words as positive as possible. My grandmother, Fritzi, and I'll tell you in a moment of how I got started. It's an amazing story, but she used to say to me, Susan, your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. And this law of attraction also rides tandem with living intentionally. It's about living your life on purpose. And when you live your life on purpose, you're putting these conscious thoughts behind the choices you make. In other words, you acknowledge you get to choose. And I always say that intentional living is like a GPS system found in many cars. It shows you the path to where you want to go. And a GPS requires putting in the right destination where you're headed. So setting an intention and attracting what you want is so much more than passively thinking about a goal. You know, while it might not seem like much, you want to relentlessly remind yourself of what you want. And when you do that, it will actually help you reach your desires. You've got to breathe and eat and sleep what you're after. And as my grandmother taught me, your mindset needs to be synchronized in order to create the reality you wish for and always be focusing on the positive.
And if I recall, you started this in your teenage years, didn't you?
Yes, just a few years ago, George, because we are
That's
very
all.
Close in age. Yes, I was a teenager. Very briefly here, my dad unexpectedly died. I was just nearly 16.
Oh, jeez.
And I ate everything in sight for a year. I gained 50 pounds, and I got four ailments that begin with the letter A. I got acne, asthma, allergies, and arthritis. And my grandmother Fritzi, who was not a doctor, but she was wise in the ways of living close to the earth and living a natural lifestyle. She said, honey, if you come and live with me for 3 months, we'll get the 50 pounds off. You'll go from negative to positive, because at that point, with all the acne and the runny nose, I was bullied in school and I didn't want to live anymore. She had my attention. I went to live with her. She changed my life, you know, in 3 months, and then I stayed for a year, and I grew up in Sherman Oaks, an area you know very well.
I know it well. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, went to school there, and then I came over to UCLA and moved over to the West Side. But Fritzi taught me about meditation, visualization, earthing, grounding, affirmations, all the healthy foods to eat and foods not to eat, about natural remedies, foods, herbs, spices, juicing. She taught me to grow sprouts. She had me make a vegetable garden. She taught me about prayer, hope, faith, keeping my word, and living by the golden rule. And then I went on, and 7 more years, I didn't live, but, you know, she was a few blocks away, so I visited her daily. I watched how she helped people in the neighborhood. If someone was depressed, they came over to her home. She had them take their shoes and socks off, walk in the backyard barefoot. We now know that as grounding and earthing. And she would just let them talk, because one of the greatest hungers of the human heart is to feel understood. Now, as a result of her brilliant, wonderful wisdom, to this day, George, I've never taken any medication.
Good for you.
I know how to heal the body with natural things. You and I are not telling anybody to go off any medications, but she taught me how to live, and God has given us the gift of a miraculous body, and one of our gifts is to give back to God. To give back to God is to take great care of our body. So then at that point, I went to UCLA, got multiple degrees. I taught there for 30 years. Students, staff, and faculty had to be healthy and fit. And at the beginning of that, I wasn't sure where my career would go. I didn't even know what I wanted to do exactly. So the universe had a huge lesson for me, and it wasn't by accident, but it was an accident. In college, I was driving on Sunset Boulevard. I was stopped at a light, and you might remember Hot Pants. And there was a there was a man behind me, not looking ahead, but looking to the left at a woman, shining shoes, wearing hot pants. And he jammed into the back of my car, totaled the car.
Oh, my God.
I know. I was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, and the doctor at UCLA. And by the way, up to that point in my life, I had always been very athletic. My dream was to be the first female Dodger baseball player. I'm not sure why they never let me try out, but I would have been great at first or third. So then the team of doctors and my head doctor said, I'm sorry, Susan, major fracture in your back. You'll never be physically active again. You can't carry anything heavier than your purse. And I decided not to accept that. And instead, with a huge back brace on that went from my legs almost up to my neck, I went to a favorite spot of mine in the Pacific Palisades area on a bench overlooking the ocean. And I had a heart-to-heart talk with myself. And I had a few epiphanies. And I knew that I could not accept that prognosis of the doctor. And over 6 months, with sheer determination and deep faith and eating the best diet and therapy and visualizing and affirming, and like Thoreau said, if you advance confidently in the direction of your dreams and you endeavor to live the life you have imagined, you will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. It's not that it was easy. It was painful. 6 months later, I went back to the doctor And he took another set of x-rays. He said, Susan, I don't understand. I don't see a sign of that fracture. You seem to be in great health. And then he said, maybe this is what they refer to as a miracle, although I never studied about it in medical school. But I've since discovered that when you are grateful, when you live your life as gratefully as possible, when you feed your mind positive thoughts, you know, when you eat the right foods, when you live the healthy, right lifestyle, you become, like the law of attraction, you become a magnet for miracles and blessings.
How important, Susan, is mental wellness to all of this?
Well, mental, like Fritzy said to me, remember, your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. That's where it all begins. There are always three things in life over which we have control. What we eat, nobody shoves the food down your throat. What you think, and how you move, the exercise you get. But it really begins with the mind. The body reflects the mind, and the mind reflects the spirit. So we've got to keep our mind as positive as possible, and we have to think about the things that we want in our life, you know, and we really can control what we think about. And as we change our thoughts and stop thinking of ourselves as a victim, our lives shift and change in all kinds of positive ways. But there is like this vicious cycle of negative thinking. And so I want to, I want to make it as practical as possible and try to relate it to health and vitality and even weight loss, because so many people are struggling with extra weight, especially from all the lockdowns and even before that. So, and here's this vicious cycle, and I'll talk about weight control. Let's assume you've always had difficulty controlling your weight. You've tried all kinds of diets. They haven't worked. By the way, diets don't work. So you have negative feelings about diets. Maybe you've tried to limit the amount of food you eat without much success. So you don't have much faith in your self-control. And then maybe you get on the scale every morning and it reinforces your image of yourself as overweight. It's this vicious cycle. And to understand why you keep repeating the same patterns, very briefly, this is in the most simple terms, this is how the mind works. Brain researchers see your mind is composed as of three primary parts, the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious. Now, as your window to the world, the conscious mind runs your daily waking activities, makes decisions, you relate to others, you do work. The subconscious mind, at the same time, carries memories of all of your experiences. It's like this storage and retrieval center for all the information your conscious mind sends it based on your daily experiences. And then, of course, the superconscious mind is your connection to the divine. I write about that in two meditation chapters in Wired for High-Level Wellness. So relating this to weight control, if you get up every morning and you worry about what clothes will fit, if you dread getting on the scale, if you dislike being seen in public, if you think about going on a diet but doubt it will work, you're programming your subconscious computer with negative beliefs. And your subconscious creates reality according to its programming. By the way, it has the reasoning power of about a five-year-old. It doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy. But you can change those beliefs. And until you change the beliefs, it's going to be difficult to lose weight. Of course, you can start with affirmations. In Chapter 10 of Uplifted, I have over 100 very empowering health and life-enriching affirmations that you can repeat to yourself silently out loud. They really do make a difference.
What does an affirmation do, Susan, actually?
It helps to change the way you think. It helps to change your thoughts from negative to positive. And then when you create an affirmation, it needs to be in the present tense, not future, and it needs to be exactly as the way you want this goal to turn out. For example, let's relate it to weight control. You wouldn't affirm, I am no longer fat, and I'm no longer struggling with extra weight. And so let's turn it around to make it positive, as though it's already your reality. You would say, maybe say this, I weigh whatever you want. I weigh 150 pounds easily and effortlessly, and I enjoy choosing healthy foods. You're making it positive and present tense, not future, and as though it's already your current reality.
Do you believe that happier people are more successful?
Well, I don't just believe it. I know it because there's lots of scientific information about this. You know, people who are positive and happy are more successful. Now, first of all, the birth of success begins with awareness that our beliefs are a choice. We can choose the beliefs that limit us. We can choose beliefs that support us. But the key is to choose beliefs that are conducive to success and to discard the ones that hold you back. Beliefs can turn on or shut off the flow of ideas, and our beliefs determine how much potential we'll be able to tap. Like in 10 BC, Virgil, one of the greatest poets of ancient Rome, said, you know this one, they can because they think they can. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Pythagoras, 2,400 years ago, I love what he said. Choose what is best. Habit will soon render it agreeable and easy. And in the world of metaphysics, it's the unwritten law of correspondence or attraction that says, as within, so without. So what are you thinking most of the time? You're always attracting back to you the equivalency of what you think, feel, and believe. What are you thinking about? So about successful, happy people, George, you just said. Studies reveal that successful, happy people have think about successful, happy things most of the time. By the same token, unsuccessful, unhappy people concentrate their thoughts on what they dislike, situations they're angry about, events. So all these data point directly to the law of concentration, which says whatever you dwell upon grows in your reality, or the way I say it is what you think about, you bring about. And these ideas have come down through the ages from all the great masters, like Jesus, of course, his disciples, and Socrates, Aristotle, Pythagoras, Emerson, Thoreau, Whitman, all my favorites. And these two laws in combination, attraction and concentration, explain much of success and most of failure.
I had a producer years ago in my earlier days, Susan, who would always come into work saying, I'm going to have a bad day today.
Ooh.
And you know what?
He did.
He had a bad day.
Yes.
He brought the cloud over his own head, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, absolutely he did. Gosh, I'm surprised you didn't set him straight.
I did, eventually.
Very good.
Eventually. It took a while, but, after he listened to guests like you, and you're one of the best, he began to realize, hey, maybe I have to change my ways.
Yes.
So one day he came in and said, this is going to be a great day. And he actually had a nice day.
Oh, my goodness. That is fantastic. Yes, it's so right. And it's more than just what you think. You know, of course, what we think about most of the time we bring about in our lives. But the starting point in making your dreams a reality is to a word that a lot of people don't like, to discipline yourself. To think and talk about only those things you want to bring into your life. And you've got to refuse to think about anything other than what you want. And it's not just about tangible things, but also intangible
things.
That's
right. Hold on, Susan. We're at a break. We'll be back to talk more about Uplifted and Wired for High-Level Wellness next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Susan Smith-Jones. We're going to take calls with Susan next hour here on Coast to Coast. Susan, in your book Uplifted, you talk about gratitude and how important that is. Tell me about that.
So as my grandmother taught me, that each and every day, one of the keys to living a happy life is to live gratefully. And I always strive to live with gratitude and to not let fears overshadow the beauty of life. It takes practice to turn it around. It takes practice to notice what gratitude feels like in your body. And you've got to really pay attention to what you're thinking. Change always starts with gratitude. Gratitude for your life in every way. Because when you are grateful, George, it makes you a magnet for blessings and miracles. And it can even increase your prosperity. I'll talk about that in a moment. But gratitude is like this bridge or connecting link between you and all channels of good in your life. It's this dynamic energy that allows you to exert a mighty influence on your life and your world. And it's an integral part of the law of attraction. There's this beautiful old Scottish saying that angels fly because they take themselves lightly. And when you're grateful every day in your life, and there, it's easy to find things for which to be grateful, when you're grateful, it lightens you up. It changes the vibrational rate of your body. It makes you happier. It makes you more fun to be around. It helps you to laugh more and truly enjoy life.
Yeah, it really does. Now, you talked about prosperity. Where does that fit in?
Well, so you can visualize your health and fitness goals, and you can visualize prosperity. And I think a place to start with prosperity, and by the way, I have a whole chapter on being a more prosperous person, getting on the abundance train in my book, Wired for High-Level Wellness. But I think everybody I know wants to find ways to grow their prosperity. And one simple way to do it is to simply not throw money into your wallet, your tote, your whatever receptacle you have. Money needs to be respected. And I recommend, and listen, don't make fun of this till you try it. Keep your money aligned without creases and wadded up and messy and torn. And I even take it a step further. And I'm not OCD, by the way, but in my wallet, my paper bills are lined up. I'm one of the few people that still have paper money in my wallet, and they're usually in descending order. I might have one $50 bill, a 20, a couple tens, one five, and a couple ones.
Now, I have a money clip. Is that okay?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's great. A money clip is great because it keeps it organized. And as I align the money, I also feel a deep sense of gratitude that I have money in my wallet. And I still write checks. And when I write checks, in the bottom area where you have the line, I say, thank you, God. But I have an example, because I believe that when you respect your money in simple, practical ways, and you live a grateful life, it will return the favor by multiplying and growing. And if you don't believe me, test it out. And I have a little example about something that happened with me and a friend, a client of mine, a couple years ago. I wrote about this, one of my 20 stories in Uplifted. A great little example. If I have 3 minutes, I want to tell you what happened
absolutely.
To her and how she grew her money. Her name was Sarah. And she called me up one day, and she said, can you meet me for lunch at, the Country Mart in Brentwood? So I met her for lunch, and she told me that over the last month, her job had been phased out at her company. She was out of work. She had been sending out resumes, not even a nibble. She was at a loss for what to do next. And when the bill arrived, she took out her wallet and wrinkled paper money, no paper clip, it was falling out all over the table. The bills were creased, ripped, folded. They were a total mess.
Crumpled up everything.
Yeah, total mess. And dirty. And some were dirty, some were torn, some had ink marks all over them. So I reminded Sarah that in the workshop she took of mine a year before, I taught about the law of attraction and the importance of treating our money with thanksgiving and respect, and it would grow for us. And then she admitted to me that was the one thing she hadn't done yet. So I said, there's no better time than the present. Let's organize your money. We put it into her tattered wallet, and she was grateful. All right, so next, I excused myself, told her I was going to the restroom, and I went next door to the gift shop, and I purchased this beautiful teal wallet for Sarah, and came back, and before I gave it to her, I snuck in a little $50 brand-new bill, because if my bills get too old, I go to the bank and replace them for new money.
I think, oh, here she comes.
Yep, and so I gave her the present. Yeah, here comes Susan. She wants new money. And I like the smell of new money, too. So anyway, she was, and so many people have touched money. It's nice to have new money. So she loved the wallet. She even said that before I arrived to meet her, she was looking at this teal wallet in the window of the gift shop, but she knew she didn't have the funds to get it. She also said to me that she had applied to be manager in that gift shop 3 years ago, but she didn't get the job. So that's not the end of the story. After our lunch, we went together to the gift shop. She was trying on scarves. I was near the front counter, and by the way, I have the best hearing of anybody I've ever known. Sometimes it's not good, but because you hear things you don't want to hear. Uh-huh. But I overheard the store's manager telling someone on the phone she needed to find a replacement for her position because her husband got a promotion and a new job in another state, and she needed to move quickly. So I rushed over to Sarah, and I told her what I heard. Well, she was gobsmacked and a little nervous of the idea of talking to the manager about the position. We walked over together. I told the manager, listen, I couldn't help but overhearing what you said about you need to move. And Sarah told her she'd like to apply for the position. The store manager was now astonished at how quickly it was happening. And it turns out Sarah got that job the same day. The manager was able to move without worrying and about how to find a replacement. And I was delighted that everyone was happy. But I know what everyone's thinking right now. Did simply feeling great gratitude for the new wallet and organizing the unwrinkled bills, which means showing respect for the money, in the new wallet, did that get her the new job? Well, okay, we'll really never know for sure. But you and I, George, have seen things like this happen too many times to refute that it was just a coincidence. So always respect your money and how you carry it in your wallet or your paperclip, and it will respect you by growing and multiplying, and just test it out yourself.
That's interesting. I might want to try that. Though mine isn't that crumpled up in a money clip. It's just folded.
I know. That's great. It's folded and organized, and you open it up, and I bet your money's very organized in descending order, too.
What's left of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me.
And the affirmation you want to keep saying is, in everything I do and don't do, I prosper. And by the way, before we had the last break, we were saying that whatever we think about most of the time, we bring into our lives. But equally as important as changing your thoughts is to feel the feeling of the dream fulfilled. In other words, assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled of whatever it is you desire, whether it's being prosperous, fit, healthy, having a loving, supportive relationship, being successful at work. Because if you start acting in a certain way, you eventually become it. And the key to the process is to capture the feeling. Because when you do that, you've captured the ability to internalize your idea, and then it's only a matter of time. So feeling refers to the intensity or the amount of emotion that accompanies your mental pictures and visualizations. As an example, let's say your goal is you want to lose the weight, you want to finally, once and for all, get your body toned and fit the way you know God created it to be. So So you visualize in your mind's eye the end result of what you want to create, and you see yourself fit and strong, and what and whatever that would be for you. Maybe you see yourself running up, like I love to hike, like I do many mornings, in the Santa Monica Mountains. Maybe you see yourself running up the hill. You see yourself enjoying eating healthy foods, and maybe you see people complimenting you on how great you look, what a shining example of health you are. But then equally important is to feel the feeling of that wish fulfilled. How would you feel if that visualization, whatever goal it is for you, is now your current reality? Like, I'm already getting angel bumps. People call them goosebumps. I call them angel bumps. Because you know how great you would feel. What if you got that house you've always wanted, or the car, or you met the right person? Do you know how happy and thankful you would be? Because when you're thankful for it, then it comes into your reality at a quicker rate. And over 40 years ago, I came up with this thing to help people remember. You know, I like simple. T times F equals R. All right, so that's thought times feeling equals realization. So the thought or picture multiplied by the feeling or emotion that accompanies it equals the speed at which it occurs in your reality. And my extensive research for decades, and I told you, George, we're just about the same age, you know, as well as my experience in working with people all around the world, has taught me to appreciate the importance of feelings. And I describe emotion as an electromagnetic field so strong that it sends up a vibration and pulls like vibrations to itself. It's a magnet for similar energy. And I once did an article, about 10 years ago, and I interviewed all kinds of highly intelligent, successful, millionaire, billionaire people with diverse backgrounds and vast experience, and I came to the conclusion that what we're talking about tonight, today, this morning, what we think about and how we feel about the things we think about are the determining factors in the way our lives work out. And I also came to realize that if we're thinking positive thoughts and we're not getting the results we want, most of the time it's because of what? Because the emotional channels have not opened. And how do you do that? They can be done by practicing forgiveness towards ourselves and others, and by passionately releasing the fear, anger, guilt, and any feelings that block the presence of the love inside us, as I write about in Uplifted. In other words, and this kind of summarizes all of this, when we see our world according to what surrounds us right now, we limit what we're going to have. So remember, Wayne Dyer used to say, instead of thinking, I'll believe it when I see it, say, I'll see it when I believe it. So for you, for this to work for you, you've got to, first of all, get in the habit of saying what it is you desire. You've got, what do you desire? A lot, you ask people, George. Some people say, I don't know, I just want to be healthier, happier.
Right. They don't have any goals.
No, exactly. I know, and you've got to plant the seeds. Be specific. Plant in your mind that which you choose to bring into your life, because the creative principle works according to those plants you seed. People don't seed them for you. You do it. If you plant scarcity, disease, and disaster, you're going to get back those same things. If you plant love, you get back more love. Say what you want, be specific, and act as if it's already true. That's the key. And finally here, any feelings we want, we can have if we think intensely enough. You try it. It's remarkable. We can feel cool when it's hot. We can feel friendly when we think we want to be alone. If we use our minds to paint the picture vividly enough, it's a powerful force that my grandmother taught me about, a feeling drawn into the subconscious mind and it acts as a generator to create what we desire.
We're going to take calls with Susan next hour here on Coast to Coast. Susan, you have a free newsletter. How do people get it?
That's a good price, isn't it?
It's the best.
Go to my website. It's not hard to remember. It's SusanSmithJones.com. Right on the homepage, the first slider that comes up is a field of beautiful sunflowers. Right there, you just click on a button. You sign up. They're a healthy living monthly. I only give you email once a month. I don't inundate you. And it's only, and you get free gifts from me, too. But it's only in my healthy living newsletters and on my Twitter. Follow me at Twitter, at Susan Smith Jones, where I post my video interviews.
Well, when we take calls with Susan next hour, questions for her. Also, if you want to share a story of positivity or negativity and tell us what happened. Maybe a friend of yours was negative, like my old producer used to be years ago, and would bring that black cloud over his head. He's changed. He's changed a lot. But, boy, when you bring that cloud over, things really happen. But share some of those stories with us. Susan's website, as she mentioned, is her name, SusanSmithJones.com. Linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. Back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this is the hour we're going to take your calls with Susan Smith Jones. A couple of her latest books called Uplifted and Wired for High Level Wellness. We'll tell you how you can get those books in just a moment, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Susan Smith-Jones with us for your calls this hour. Susan, what would you say could be, and you've talked about a lot of different things, but is there one single factor that's the most important for an individual to just get through life in a good...
I love that you asked that, and I would say it's all about faith. Ralph Waldo Emerson said one of my favorite quotes in my lifetime, the whole course of things goes to teach us faith. And to me, faith is like that invisible and invincible magnet that attracts to itself whatever it fervently desires and persistently expects. So daily we need to keep our faith strong and empowered with how we choose to live. My mom used to always say to me, I think all moms and grandmothers said this to their kids, Susan, keep your words sweet, loving, true, and kind in case you have to eat them. And with faith, you want to speak words that affirm the life you want, because words are messengers for power. You choose the kind of power they carry. And you can change the course of your life with the words you think, you speak, you write. If someone already has Uplifted, starting on page 114, I have 260, if you need help with this, positive, constructive words. But then I also choose to live a faith-based life. I know 2 Corinthians 5:7 is worry ends when faith begins. And after that life-changing car accident I told you about,
yep,
that made me look at all my life's purpose and heartfelt goals, I made a choice to live my life from a place of faith and optimism, and it's made all the difference in the world. My favorite flower is the sunflower, and when its face is open as a heliotrope, it naturally seeks the sun. So I, too, seek daily to put God's light and love at my center and to live a holistic, healthy lifestyle, because as my grandmother taught me, health is a complete package. It's physical, mental, and spiritual aspects working as one. So show by your daily actions that health is a top priority for you. With a positive mindset, like we've been talking about, you can accomplish anything. So never underestimate the power you have to take your life in a positive new direction. You know that quote in the Bible, with God, all things are possible. And that's the faith by which I live.
And it's not easy all the time to stay upbeat. We're human beings, right?
No, it's not easy. And life can be complicated and messy. But again, you're
and
in
cruel.
Charge of your thoughts. You're in charge of what you eat. You're in charge of your day, for the most part,
For the most part, that's
and
true.
And I always say, yes, I always say to people, change your preposition. And that means rather than saying, why is this happening to me? Because often we repeat the same scenario. It might be different people in a different setting. That's because we haven't reprogrammed our subconscious mind, like I write about in Lifted. So rather than playing a victim and saying, why is this happening to me? Say, why is this happening for me? Because often it's just a little change. And the question you say, and then the answer will come. And it's, and if we have time before we finish, let's spend 1 minute on meditation, because it's in the stillness and the quiet where important things become clear. And to meditate a little bit every day will make your life better. So maybe before we're all done, I know we've got 4 more hours, right?
No, you don't.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, so maybe we can just touch on meditation. And I want to give everyone a simple meditation they can do starting today that will change their lives for the better.
Perfect. Let's start by going to David in London, England.
Oh,
so you're being heard all over the place. Hi, David.
Hello, George. Really enjoyed your program. Great music. And what a fantastic guest you've got tonight.
She's great. Thanks, David.
Yeah, so I read Wired for High Level Wellness, an incredible book, and I followed it precisely, and I lost 50 pounds, which is just absolutely over the moon for me.
Fantastic.
I bought Uplifted, and by the way, I do get Susan's monthly living newsletters, a real blessing in my life. I really look forward to them coming out each month. But I bought Uplifted. I think it's probably the most dynamic book I've ever read in my life, as indeed is Susan's interview that I've just been listening to. I've listened to the whole hour, and it's just so optimistic and encouraging. But Uplifted is the same, the book. But what I want to do is I want to actually buy Uplifted, a whole batch of them, in order to give to friends and family as gifts. And so my question is really quite a simple question. How do I get them autographed? And indeed, is it possible to get them autographed by Susan so they've got that sort of stamp of authenticity with them?
Great question. How do you do that, Susan?
And David, nice to meet you over in London. I know it's 8 hours later there, so it's daytime there. Great to have your call. Yes, I love to autograph books. And if you go to SusanSmithJones.com, go to books, you can click on Uplifted or Wired. And on each of those, Wired for High Level Wellness, on each of those pages, you just scroll down. It will tell you how to get autograph copies.
Oh, fantastic.
I send them all over the world. And not only do I autograph each one, but then I write a personal note card for you that you can keep forever. You can keep it in the book. And I even put a bookmark in the book. I address the envelopes. I go down to my local country mart to the post office. I mail every single one myself. And I consider people that I send these books to autographed as my extended family. So just, David, go to the website, go to books. Go to whatever book you want, and you'll find out easily how to get an autographed copy, and I'm happy to do that. And thank you for your positive comments.
Susan, have you ever seen an area, a time period on this planet that seemed to be so upside down?
Never, ever before, which means our faith and our thinking needs to be as positive as possible, so that we don't let it affect us. You know, a few minutes ago, George, you said to me, are successful people more positive than negative? Let me take that a step further. Recently, a little over a year ago, there was a great study done at Harvard, and they compared optimistic and pessimistic people, and they found that people that were optimistic lived 10 to 15 years longer and had a more robust immune system than negative, pessimistic people. And we need a good immune system these days. We all know we got to keep our immune system as strong as possible, and they never talk about that on the news. They talk about this shot and that shot, but they don't talk about what you can do in your life and boosting your immune system. So when someone comes around you like your old buddy, who is pessimistic, now we know that when you're pessimistic, you live 10 to 15 years
less.
Shorter.
That's right.
Yeah, so maybe you say, what, are you trying to shorten your life? Come on, let's just be positive. Often it's difficult, but I like to try to find people's funny bones. I like to make people laugh. I have to tell you, I am a huge practical joker. Not long ago, I was out to eat with two other couples. I was with a friend. I was with two other couples. The three women were on one side. The three men were on the other. And I said to the two women next to me, let's very slowly, without them knowing, let's continue to push the table closer to us, but in such small increments that they would never know. And then, you know, within about 15 minutes, the table was a foot and a half away from the guys on the other side, and then we all laughed. Or I've been known to take these fake little... should I even admit this? Oh, my gosh. Cockroaches and little snakes and stuff. And
little rubber ones?
Yes, exactly. And
I do the same thing.
You do? You do?
I take it to restaurants and put it by the bar or something and walk away and watch people.
And I love to make, and then people laugh. And I'm a double Sagittarius, so I just love to laugh and it's difficult for me to be around people that are always serious.
I have a bag of rubber flies.
Yes. Yes, I do, too.
They look so real, don't they?
Yes, totally real. And then what I've done before is I make sure they're really clean, you know, so I wash them in the kitchen sink. And I have them in a little Ziploc bag in my tote. And I'll put it on the plate, and then I'll say, oh, wow, you know, someone else's plate. Look what's on your plate. Oh, man, this is probably good protein. And I'll pick it up, and I'll put it in my mouth, and it freaks them out. but then guess what? They'll never forget that incident. And they'll also think Susan is absolutely crazy. But we've got to not take ourselves and our life so seriously.
That's right. Let's go to Michelle in San Diego, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, George. Hello, Susan. George, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Susan, I just love all the stories, and you are funny. I'm here laughing out loud. And Susan, I have a couple of quick comments and then my question. First of all, the story you said earlier about respecting money, I know it works, and I can refer to your Chapter 9 in Wired for High Level Wellness about opening up the abundance and the blessings. For me, it's really made a very big difference. But mostly, actually, I did get your book for the brain health and losing weight, and that really helps too.
Oh, good.
So anyway, so I did get your last book uplisted, and right now I'm doing the daily 12-minute action steps. So I'm getting ready for this summer, and I'm really happy about that. But now my question for you is, can you give me a suggestion on what I can do to get better sleep at night? Not only to fall asleep.
Without pills.
Without a pill, but also to get back to sleep if I need to get up in the middle of the night to go use the bathroom or something like this. This is a place where I struggle. Otherwise, you know, I live a very clean lifestyle. I like, you know, about your faith. I have faith as well. And so if you could help me with that, it would be great. And, please continue your wonderful work.
Any suggestions there, Suze?
Yes, boy, oh, boy. Now, George, I'm going to plant a seed with you. We should do a whole show together on how to sleep like a baby.
After the show, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't sleep during the show, folks.
No, of course. I've studied about this, and Michelle, thank you. There's so many people deal with issues regarding sleep. Here, I'm going to rattle off multiple things you can do, and then I'll save the best one for last. First of all, keep a regular sleep schedule, 7 days a week if at all possible. Go to bed and wake up the same time every day. Your body thrives on a routine. Secondly, wear natural fiber PJs and use natural fibers in your bed linens, not polyester. I don't have time to go into why, but it has to do with the healthy negative ions. that you attract that help you sleep. So natural pajamas. You want your bedroom to be dark, cool, and quiet. You want a live plant in your bedroom because it gives off oxygen. It takes up carbon dioxide. You don't want to eat a big meal 3 hours before you go to bed. So these are all important. If you, the essential oil of lavender, you can put a diffuser next to your bed with a little few drops of lavender. You can put some lavender on your pillowcase. Scientific studies, easy for me to say, scientific studies show that it helps calm you and relax you. Now my favorite. If I've my number one health secret in my life, why I look younger than my age, why I haven't had a cold or a flu in 40 years, I've never had a flu vaccine, I'm healthy because I have an infrared sauna in my home. And if you can get an infrared sauna, it's better than a hot bath or a shower because you want to heat up the core. And why an infrared sauna? And by the way, it's funny you ask this. I posted a blog today on the health benefits of infrared sauna therapy with scientific studies, how the saunas can kill the virus, boost immunity, help you with weight loss, your skin, detoxify and rejuvenate your body. So if about 3 hours before bedtime you took an infrared sauna and you that heats up your core, the process of your body going from being heated up to cooling down increases the level of your melatonin, a hormone in your body that helps you to sleep well.
That's right.
Yes, and that's why it's good to give a baby a bath at night before you put a baby to bed. It's because that cooling down process increases melatonin. And then it will help you to sleep like a baby. And I'm going to, two more quick things, Michelle. You said when you get up at night, make sure you don't flash on the bright light. Because when you, let's say you're walking to the bathroom or in the bathroom, because that shuts down the melatonin and doesn't come back on again. So have a little faint nightlight. Here's one other little suggestion, and everyone can do this. Everyone can do this. If you need help sleeping at bedtime, Michelle, take your right thumb and push on your right nostril. I'm doing it now. Close your right nostril and breathe through your left nostril. Hopefully you don't have an allergy or a cold. For 3 to 5 minutes, just breathing. And maybe while you're doing it, you do your I am affirmations that I give you an uplift. And maybe you say, I am healed. I am victorious. I am grateful. I am peace. I am happy. I am calm. You know, whatever you I am affirm. And for 3 to 5 minutes, breathe through your left nostril. It changes your magnificent brainwave activity from beta, where everyone is right now, it's waking consciousness, to slowing it down to more alpha and then theta. And then you'll find with those affirmations and maybe you visualize something happy, you will drift right off to sleep. Visualize something really peaceful. It helps to calm you down, relax your body, helps you to sleep more restfully. And George, before we're done, when we get to meditation, I'll give you a simple meditation that can help assuage and quell any kind of stress and help you feel happier. And we'll get to that.
We'll do that in the next half hour. Yes. Let's go to Louise in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Louise.
Louise, thank you so much for accepting my call. Susan, I want to say I love you. You are my twin spiritual sister. I have never met another female like me. Listening to you is like me talking to myself. Everything that you say, I do. I've done for years. Never been sick. Don't take medicine. You know, been truly blessed, and I just want to say thank you for being in the world.
You've given me angel bumps, Louise. Thank you. And Louise, there are a lot of people like us out there, and we have to not be shy to help people to be more positive. You know, when people around me are negative, I try in them. I don't correct them. I don't criticize them. But I try to direct their conversation to being something more positive. Louise, are you in Louisville?
She's hung up, yeah, but she was in Louisville.
Where was that? Where's the Kentucky Derby?
The Kentucky Derby is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, was that amazing?
That was a great race.
Eighty to one shot. That inspired me to know that if I think something can't happen and it's a long shot and nobody thinks that it will work and everyone says, "Oh, you can't do it. You're too old. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough." Well, forget what they say, and that horse really inspired me.
Susan, we're going to come back and take final calls. Get ready to do your meditation trial for us when we come back. And welcome back to our final segment with Susan Smith-Jones, George Norrie with you. We'll get your calls as well. Susan, let's do your meditation program and teach us a little bit.
Yes, so meditation. My grandmother, when I was a teenager, taught me how to meditate. And what she always reminded me is that when you constantly direct your attention and energies outward, it's easy to lose that sense of inner wonder and calmness, balance and beauty, where true happiness, joy, and peace originate. Abraham Lincoln said, "We're about as happy as we make up our minds to be." And our inner happiness comes not from what we own, but it comes from the kindness and the love we have and show to others and the world. And meditation is a way to unplug from the hustle and bustle of everyday living. Well, I believe that while the body benefits from movement, our mind greatly benefits from stillness. And the outside noise tends to drown out the inner life, the music of the soul, of God. And only in silence and stillness can we go within and nurture our spiritual lives. And there have been, over the decades, so many scientific studies, and I have two detailed chapters about this in Wired for High-Level Wellness, about what it can do for us. First of all, it's an easy way to feel more peaceful. When you meditate, you strengthen the body's immune system. We all need that now. It slows down the aging process. George, they've done studies where they compare people who have been meditating, you know, once or twice a day for a year with people of the same age who have not been meditating, and the ones who have been meditating are physiologically 12 to 15 years younger. So in other words, it slows down and reverses aging. It wakens our regenerative energies. It makes you more creative. And one of the best things is that it's cost-free. And it's also how I connect with God. You have God's inner guidance system to support you 24/7. So put your faith in the driver's seat. And it's when you have the stillness and quiet that important things become clear. So here's a very simple meditation you can do. You could do it when you're driving. Just make sure you don't shut your eyes then. You can do it anywhere. You can sit. You can stand. You could do it when you're doing your walk out in nature. And I like to use Psalms 46:10. That's "Peace, be still." And let's just say you're sitting right now. You slowly and deeply inhale. And as you inhale, either out loud or silently to yourself, say the word peace. And then hold your breath for 2 to 3 to 4 seconds, and then slowly exhale to the words "be still." So inhale slowly and deeply to peace. Hold your breath. Exhale to "be still." You could say the word stillness. Inhale to still. Exhale to ness. I kind of like "peace, be still." You could do your "I am" affirmations. I give you over 100 of them and uplifted. You could inhale to "I am," because those are very powerful words. And then you exhale to "I am peace. I am joy. I am love. I am healed. I am grateful," whatever it is. And if you do that for 3 to 5 minutes, especially when you feel like you're stressed out or if you're about to do an interview, or you're about to take a test, or you're about to confront someone, or when you're lying in bed, remember the 3 to 5 minutes with your thumb, right thumb on your right nostril. You're breathing in through your left nostril to calm you, to relax you, and you can breathe in to peace and exhale to be still, and you will sleep like a baby. But since I was a teenager, I'm very disciplined about meditation. I get up usually at 3 in the morning. I'm not saying anyone else has to do that, but it just works for me because it's quiet. I'm an early morning person, and I do meditation. I read a little bit from the Bible. I might do a little desk work, and I do a workout. And keep this in mind. The first 40 minutes of every day sets the tone for your day. So how do you want your day to be? Healthy, not rushed, not stressed out. So maybe the night before you set the breakfast table or lay out your exercise or work clothes or make the kids' lunches so that you can have a peaceful, relaxed, healthy first 40 minutes of the day. And what I've done for as long as I can remember, Fritzy taught me to do this, and George, all the young people here won't know what I'm talking about, but there was a beautiful musical called Oklahoma. You remember that?
I sure do.
And was it Gordon McRae that sang the theme song? And the verse of the song, and why I'm what's germane here is every morning I sing this song. I don't sing the whole song. I sing the verse, and the verse is, and I won't sing it because we don't want people to go into the other room, but it's, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling.
Everything's going my way.
And if you sing that in the morning for the first 40 minutes, you're going to have a wonderful day. Remember, the future depends on the choices you make today, so make sure you choose wisely. Every day comes bearing precious gifts for you from God. We just need to untie the ribbon.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye. And I help me see it climbing way up
to the sky. Oh,
what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling.
Everything's going my way. Susan, thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you, George.
You take care. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Napany, and Punnett, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.